This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, September 20th, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. For those who want to go cashless, it's getting easier. But for the shrinking number of people who want to use cash for virtually all face-to-face transactions, it's getting far more difficult. Is it okay for the feds to help preserve your choice to use cash by banning cashless stores? Congress is thinking about it. Cato's Diego Zuluaga comments.
Some stores are going cashless. These are retail establishments where you would otherwise be making a purchase in cash. But these are places that say, look, everybody's got a phone. These phones have chips in them that allow people to spend money with us without pulling out a wallet, allows us to not have a cash register exactly. The money goes right into our account. Why is that considered controversial?
Well, the argument is that there's a specific segment of the population that doesn't have bank accounts and doesn't have easy access to payment cards. And therefore, policies that prevent them from paying in cash effectively mean they can no longer go to those establishments. Now, I happen to think that that argument is a bit of an exaggeration and it doesn't reflect reality, because if you look at surveys of the unbanked and underbanked in the United States, it's only about 4%, 4.5% of households that don't have a bank account and don't regularly use prepaid cards. So the proportion of the population that's in this situation is already very small. And I think the reason they don't use prepaid cards, which are widely available, is that they are still able to deal in cash. So that actually not much of their purchasing activity is affected by cashless policies on behalf of certain retail establishments. I mean, we have to think about this from the perspective of the store. If you're no longer taking cash, you will only do so if you don't expect it to have a significant impact on your customer base. If you're going to be denying a lot of your existing customers access to your products, then what's the point? I mean, sure, there are sort of marginal gains from not having to calculate change and go to the bank periodically and, you know, potentially robbery and so on. But you look at surveys and fewer people are using cash. And fewer people are using cash for transactions of more than $10. The latest survey from the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco suggests that 30% of transactions are paid for in cash, and 55% of those under $10. But if you look across ages, it's older people primarily who use cash. You know, the rest are using Venmo, they're using debit and credit, and so on.
And it's relevant that it's the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco to put this out, because you would expect the Bay Area to be one of the most advanced in using like non-cash payment systems. So 30% in 2017 is what they reported. Not insignificantly, was still the largest category of transactions. So for individual businesses to make that choice and say, we're willing to give up potentially a third of our transactions, or at least compel people to quickly switch, it's not an insignificant calculation.
Right. I just think you have to look at how people spend their money. And I think what we will find is that a lot of the stores going cashless are not the ones that comprise the bulk of the expenditure by people. It's not typically supermarkets and grocery stores. It won't be necessarily the other big items of expenditure. You know, if you pay your rent in cash, I don't think your landlord will refuse to take payment in cash if need be, although some will, of course. So it's a question about the dollar value of transactions. And it also just suggests that this trend is something that's happening in certain places and certain types of businesses that appeal to a specific demographic that doesn't use cash. But it's not really a widespread trend, no matter what some more panicked news reports might suggest.
So people might be wondering, why are you guys talking about this? And that is because the federal government has decided, or at least some parts of the federal government have decided to get involved.
There are two bills in front of the House of Representatives, both from Democratic representatives, banning policies that restrict the use of cash or otherwise make stores cashless at the federal level. I have two problems with this. The first one is it's highly prescriptive and it doesn't really take account of the varied circumstances of businesses and also the freedom to choose. I mean, it is ironic that one of these bills is called the Payment Choice Act, when in fact it's taking away payment choice from one side of the transaction. But the second issue is that cash, by definition, involves the physical exchange of goods. So what is the federal government's role in prescribing behavior one way or the other in this case? Why not let cities and states make their own decisions? It's not like they are not able to do so. San Francisco just instituted a cashless ban. Philly did so earlier in the year. And Massachusetts, as it happens, has had one since the 1970s. And New Jersey has had one since a few months ago. So, you know, there are moves at the lower level. I don't see a role here for the federal government to get involved.
Is there a middle ground at all?
Well, I think there is one, but I don't think it's one that will appeal to advocates of more regulation. You could make it so that businesses have to accept cash. But why would they not surcharge cash payments if they find it inconvenient or otherwise costly or risky to take cash? They might say, yes, you may either pay with plastic or with Venmo or with Google Pay or Apple Pay, or you may use cash, but you'll have to pay a dollar extra, or we have a 2% charge. This is ironic because, of course, most of our experience with surcharges is the other way around. If you don't pay in cash, then you have to pay something extra because these other media typically charge a transaction fee. But we could move to a world where cash becomes so relatively inconvenient and other payment media so much cheaper that we have the opposite. And this would be regressive. So I think the middle ground really is to let businesses choose and decide on the basis of the people who buy from them. Ironically, a lot of the difficulty in having more people at the lower end of the income spectrum be able to use cards and other media is regulation. After the financial crisis under Dodd-Frank, a number of different regulations were put in place that made it more difficult for low-income people to get credit cards. And by capping the fees...
Is this the so-called Durbin Amendment?
That's another one. That's the one I was about to get to. This is the CARD Act. The CARD Act restricted the extent to which, as your credit score changes, your credit card issuer can change the terms of the contract. But the Durbin Amendment is more relevant because low-income people tended to, at the time, to use debit much more. And Durbin capped the fees that banks could charge on debit card transactions. And as a result of that, they stopped not only providing debit cards for free, but also free checking accounts became much harder to come by, so that low-income people had less of an incentive to open a bank account. So what we see now really is the ramifications of regulation slowing down take-up of more efficient electronic payment media that that would benefit everybody, and everybody might have access to in different circumstances. Of course, another irony of this whole thing is that for a long time, government has been discouraging enterprise from dealing in cash anyway, because they don't want tax evasion and they don't want money laundering. And a way to do so is by making all transactions traceable by having electronic payments. So this is sort of the federal government attempting to solve the problems that previous quote-unquote solutions have created.
And it's interesting because a lot of businesses that are dealing with, let's say, sensitive or legally unclear products, that is to say, exotic dancers or purveyors of marijuana or purveyors of guns, have in many cases had a difficult time getting bank accounts thanks to federal regulation.
Absolutely right. And those are the ones who genuinely have difficulty in accumulating so much cash. Because a lot of these transactions are sizable. They actually end up being the sort of transactions that in any other environment wouldn't happen, mostly in cash. So you end up with marijuana dispensaries having tens of thousands of dollars on a regular trading day and making them very vulnerable to assault and theft and so on. So it's interesting how regulation has all manner of ramifications that are unintended, but also how the same thing may cause something to get worse at the same time as it doesn't solve a different problem.
Diego Zuluaga is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.